My name is Greg Fries. I'm the Director of Education for CenterLearn Solutions. My focus is on creating online education programs, but still very passionate about the work that people do in the field. And types of calls that always are especially meaningful for me or opportunity that I can think about how I can make a difference for a patient have to do with patients that fall. And when a patient falls and we respond as EMS, it's not usually the first time that we've been there for a fall, or if it is their first fall, there's a good chance we'll be going back for falls. And some of my most memorable calls as a paramedic have been where maybe the patient's not injured critically at that point, but they did have a fall, they need assistance, and there's an opportunity for me to educate the patient or their family or maybe in-home care providers about what can be done to reduce the risk of falls, because the next fall might be the one that leads to a head injury or a traumatic brain injury or a hip fracture, and maybe we can prevent that with some real simple things. And so what I've always tried to do is think about my role is bigger than just this immediate call for help, but the prevention side. And, you know, try to talk to the patient or their family about, you know, I've noticed some fall risks here in your home. Maybe there's some cords on the floor or a pet or poor lighting or loose area rugs. I've nagging my own parents and in-laws all the time who are in their 60s of like, you're healthy now, let's stay that way, let's remove these loose rugs from in front of the kitchen sink. And just some simple things to start doing to reduce the risk of falls in the home. And, you know, I found that people are receptive to that and appreciate that. And, you know, I've also noticed coworkers that share my feelings about the importance of this. Sometimes we'll just start making those changes while we're in the home of like, gosh, if we push this chair back a little bit further, it'll give you more room. You know, because you might say to somebody, well, why weren't you using your walker? And they say, well, it doesn't fit between this space here. And so, well, can we move the furniture for you? And they're like, will you do that? And I'm like, of course we'll do that. You know, where do you want things? And, you know, that might encourage that patient to take advantage of that assist device they have, and then we're not coming back for a more severe injury in the future. And then, you know, the other step is just being aware of what's available in your community. I've heard about a lot of EMS programs saying, oh, you know, we would like to start a fall prevention program of our own. The first step should be finding out what's already going on in terms of social services, or maybe you have a like commission for the aging or something like that, and you could partner with an agency that already is doing fall prevention services and, you know, take advantage of the fact that you're going into the homes, and maybe they have pamphlets that you could be distributing when you visit patients in the home. And partnering with them maybe to give community education programs. There's a lot of different things that you can do to help family access resources. And, you know, one of my calls that's especially memorable for me is we're helping a patient that, you know, one of the first things he said is like, oh, your friends were just here last night. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah, the ambulance. I had to call the ambulance last night. I'm like, well, why? Well, I fell and they helped me get up. And, you know, here we are like 15 hours later helping the same guy up. And this time his daughter was there, and she was really insistent that he go to the hospital, but he was making the decision on his own. And then, you know, we could have just gotten a release and wiped our hands of the thing, but my partner and I said, you know, this just isn't the best thing for this guy to be calling the ambulance every 12 hours to get off the floor. And we were able to persist with him to find out that he had home health, and he's, oh yeah, they come and check up on me. And I'm like, well, how often? I'm like, well, once a week. I'm like, well, that clearly isn't cutting it. And we were able to get on the phone, and then they were able to say, okay, you really got to go get checked out this time. And, you know, to sort of start that cascade of events to get that help he needed, or else he would have just been calling the ambulance time after time. My final thought on this is if you're bringing a patient to the hospital that's high risk for falls and you've responded to a fall complaint and now you're at the hospital, that what I've always tried to do is that, you know, in a real intentional way in front of the patient, the family, and to the nurse or physician that's receiving the patient, saying something like, you know, we responded because this patient fell, they needed assistance, we noticed several risks in their home that could lead them to fall more often, and we've informed them that while they're here at the hospital, you're going to talk to them about what they can do to reduce their risk of falls, because the hospital also has resources available that they can assist that patient with. And I find that there's a greater chance of everybody sort of being held accountable to taking the next step if I do it as sort of like a group meeting. Because if I just like on the way by the nurse's station be like, oh, room 7, make sure you talk to them about falls, out of sight, out of mind. But if we're all there in the room together and I sort of, you know, look at everybody and say, you know, this was a fall, we want this patient to get some more information, they're expecting to talk to you about what they can do to reduce their risk of falls, that, you know, with the physician, maybe they'll review that patient's list of medications and find out, is there some problems there, are there appropriate doses, maybe there's hospital social services that can be made available to the patient to help them stay in the home. So I just really want to encourage EMS providers to think about, you know, that first fall or a fall that's just a simple assist is an indicator of a patient having future falls, and maybe there's things you can do to prevent that next fall from being catastrophic for the patient.
Do you ever find that a patient is reluctant to take help in that way, kind of that they feel like they shouldn't have to bother you, or right, that they don't realize that you know, moment, that preventative moment now will save, you know, it sounds like, yeah, the gentleman in your story earlier had opportunities to change, right, the pattern and had kind of, oh no, I don't need that. You know, do you find that sometimes the patient is reluctant, or?
Well, I think in his specific case, yes, he did not want to go to the hospital, but nobody had pushed him up to that point and said, this isn't right. You know, he fell the night before, they came back and assisted him, and then he fell again during the day, and he estimated it was most of the day he was on the floor before his daughter came home to find him on the floor, and she couldn't help him up. And he sort of figured like, well, once I'm back in my chair, I'll be fine. And I said, no, this isn't right. This isn't, it's not good for you. It's awful on your daughter. This obviously is, mm-hmm, very stressful for her. You know, we want to see what's going on here so you're not falling out of the chair in the first place. And then, so I think for him, it was just like, okay, he argued, but eventually, like, I just wasn't going to, mm-hmm, give in. And that was sort of a commitment I made at that point of like, you know, I want this to be right. You know, this is the call I'm on now. I'm going to focus on this and we're going to get it right. And you know, that included, the daughter who was, couldn't hear, she was deaf, and trying to find the information for the home health nurse. It was after hours to get that person paged to find them. And you know, finally, she wanted him to go to the hospital, and finally he said, okay, this is makes sense after we'd presented a case of facts. I think, more generally speaking, patients that if you present it not as like, you know, our goal is to get you in a nursing home, but our goal is to help you stay in your home. Mm-hmm. And I think if your intent is genuine and that you're not rushed about it, and you explain, like, you know, you fell, and this rug is probably what you tripped over, and you have a rug just like it in the kitchen and another one in front of the bathroom sink, and you're going to keep hitting the deck if you don't change this. You know, here's some things you should do. Because the other thing to remember is, like, so often patients go home from the ER, and I like to give them an action plan of, like, okay, when you bring grandma home, these are some things you better switch up around the house, or we're going to be back tomorrow or next week. And then it might be grandma's going to rehab for 6 months because she has broken hip, and then she never comes back here. So here's an action plan. Let's fix it.
Cool. Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Happy to do it.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.